We'll legislate our way into the October 1, 2011 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report, available for transmission over amateur radio under a Community Commons license. See therainreport.com for details. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. If you follow the activities of the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, you no doubt have seen a steady stream of legislative updates affecting the U.S. amateur radio service. ARRL CEO Dave Sumner, K1ZZ, talked about the league's legislative objectives at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention this past May.
Every 2 years, the ARRL Board of Directors reviews our objectives for federal legislation. Now, not all of those objectives are aimed at achieving legislation. Many of them are aimed at avoiding legislation. And in fact, a lot of what we do up there is defensive. A lot of success is if you don't hear about something. Once in a while, somebody will ask me, how are we doing in spectrum defense, defending the amateur radio spectrum? And my standard response the last few years has been, well, we're doing better than the broadcasters are, because in fact we are. We've managed to retain spectrum access, increase spectrum access, while the broadcasters have been having to fight real hard to maintain their abilities. In terms of our legislative objectives, which ideally would not involve spectrum at all, because spectrum management ought to be left to spectrum managers and not to legislators. In terms of other objectives, the one that we have right at the top of the list, and again, these are set by the ARRL board every 2 years at the start of a new Congress. And the first one is to extend the requirement for reasonable accommodation. If you remember PRB1 and the positive effect that it had on avoiding excessive land use regulation of amateur antennas, we'd like to extend that to all forms of land use regulation, specifically restrictive covenants that are applied increasingly to new developments. This is a tough objective, frankly. It runs counter to the prevailing philosophy right now, which is that government is best which governs least, and this is actually asking the government to interfere with a private contract between a presumably willing home buyer and the seller who wants to attach these restrictions to the sale of the property. But if there's a compelling public interest need for intervention, then it does make sense in terms of the public good to provide that. And that's what we're seeking. And we're doing it right now in a two-step process, and I'll talk about the steps in just a minute. The second one is, of course, we oppose legislation that would lead to loss of access to radio spectrum, because obviously without access to radio spectrum, we're out of business. And in this I speak of we amateur radio. ARRL exists for the protection, promotion, and advancement of amateur radio. It does not exist for the protection, promotion, and advancement of ARRL. ARRL is a means to an end, and it is amateur radio's protection that we're in business to do. The third objective is we're trying to keep down the spectrum pollution. We're trying to avoid having so much noise from unlicensed emitters, especially because they tend to be unregulated. Broadband over power lines is a good example of that, and we've done pretty well bending that off. It's not completely disappeared from view, but it's no longer regarded as a potential third wire into the home to deliver consumer broadband. That is pretty well defeated. But there could be legislation introduced that would elevate the status of unlicensed transmitters relative to licensed transmitters. We have to guard against that because as licensees, we are entitled to some protection from interference from these sources, and also we're entitled to not have to worry about whether we are interfering with them or not, because they right now have no rights, and we like it that way. We want to be sure that whenever Congress addresses the issue of emergency communications, that they recognize that amateur radio is a national resource. We don't want to be forgotten. We don't want to be overlooked. And in that regard, it was not in Congress. It was very encouraging to me that the director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, right after returning from Alabama, and inspecting the damage down there. In addressing an FCC forum on earthquake communications readiness, he made a special point of calling everyone's attention. This is right in the FCC headquarters, and there's the director of FEMA standing up there saying, you know, we shouldn't forget that all of these systems that we're designing, and we're designing them to be reliable and to be there when we need them, they will fail. They will fail. And when they fail, and this is a director of FEMA speaking, when they fail, amateur radio will still be there, where we, as the responders, will get our early situational awareness is from radio amateurs, because they're already there and they have communications even when there's no infrastructure whatsoever. So it's that recognition that we're looking for in any legislation that deals with emergency communications. Finally, we want to support the objectives of other services that share our interests. One of the big problems that we have right now is that spectrum is regarded as a valuable resource to be auctioned to the highest bidder. We can't afford to bid for spectrum. We could take everything that everybody's spending on radios this weekend at Dayton, and it wouldn't buy very many kilohertz at a national level. We can't play that game. We pay for our access to spectrum through what we do that is good for the public, and including not just emergency communications, but technical development, education, international goodwill, all of the things that you know by heart from 97.1. Well, there are other services that share a lot of those characteristics. Public safety agencies, you know, your volunteer fire department can't bid for spectrum. They're probably these days having trouble getting gas for the engines. The scientific services, such as radio astronomy, would have a tough time bidding for spectrum. And so where their interests and our interests coincide, we want to be sure that we're working together. We've done that through a number of different avenues, and so we support one another when it's called for. This is one that has popped up a lot lately, and that has to do with distracted driving legislation. Most of that action is at the state level, but there is federal legislation that deals with the issue as well. The federal access to the issue of distracted driving, you know, driving while texting. The first time somebody told me that people were texting while driving, I thought, that's crazy. Nobody would be stupid enough to do that. Well, guess what? The problem is not legislation aimed at that. It is the unintended consequences of that legislation on two-way services that have a record of decades of safety on the highway, including amateur radio. So we need to be sure that anything that's done at the federal level that deals with the distracted driving issue does not negatively impact amateur radio. And there is some of that legislation currently under consideration, and we're monitoring that very closely. This is a very specific item. The objective adopted by the board is that the ARRL supports the FCC Commissioner's Technical Resources Enhancement Act. That was actually the 111th Congress bill. And this was to provide an additional staff member for each of the five FCC commissioners, specifically with an engineering or information technology background expertise, because the commissioners are limited in the number of personnel they can hire to advise them personally, and they are tending to fill those slots with lawyers and economists. And we need more engineers on the eighth floor. I won't address the issue of whether we need fewer lawyers or economists, but we definitely need more engineers. And the only way we're going to get that is through Congress specifically authorizing that. And it's at the option of the commissioners, of course, whether they would do it.
You're listening to an excerpt from a talk about the ARRL's legislative objectives by its CEO, Dave Sumner, K1ZZ, delivered during the 2011 Dayton Hamvention this past May in suburban Dayton, Ohio. We'll conclude this excerpt in a moment. This is the Rain Report. Available first on therainreport.com.
So where do we stand on our current legislation? You probably have heard of H.R. 607. This was a bill that was introduced in early February by Representative Peter King of New York State. He's on Long Island. He's been in the news for other reasons lately. And what his legislation is intended to do is to provide additional spectrum in the 700 megahertz range for an interoperable national broadband network for public safety agencies, for first responders. That's a great idea. One of the big problems at 9/11 was that the agencies couldn't intercommunicate. One of the big problems in responding to disasters is when responders come in from outside a jurisdiction, they find that their equipment can't talk to the equipment used locally because they're on different frequencies, using different standards. There's a lot of issues related to interoperability. So the concept is, okay, let's set aside specific spectrum for a broadband network that uses a common standard so that if you show up, you know, if you drive your ambulance from New Jersey to North Carolina, when you get there, you'll be able to talk to the agencies that you're trying to help. Great idea. No problem. We support that in principle very strongly. The problem is that the spectrum that they're looking for this purpose was originally earmarked for auction to commercial services. So they're looking at this saying, oh gosh, we're going to lose this income, we're going to lose this revenue, we need to find a way to offset that revenue. So somebody, and it was not Congressman King, I mean, we have to recognize that this was not his brainchild to say, oh, instead of auctioning those frequencies off, let's auction 420 to 440 megahertz and 450 to 470 megahertz. We'll just auction those frequencies off instead and make the money that way. Well, it wasn't his idea to do that, but he got some really, really, really bad advice and included that provision in the bill. So Section 207 of his bill, H.R. 607, says, let's do that and make the money that way. Congressman King is chairman of the Homeland Security Committee on the House of Representatives. That's a very influential and powerful position, and it puts him in a position of having a lot of influence on this issue. However, the bill is actually in the Commerce Committee, specifically the Telecommunications Subcommittee. Well, he's not on that committee. That subcommittee is chaired by Greg Walden, W7EQI, who is a congressman from Oregon. So one of the first things we did after we heard about this legislation was we went in to see the staff of the Communications Subcommittee. First thing he said when we walked in the door was, we don't understand why Congressman King threw you guys under the bus. Those are his exact words. Because it doesn't make any sense. We know that the spectrum he's talking about doesn't have the kind of value that is assigned to it. We know that it's not public safety spectrum that is where we would just be migrating public safety services out of that band into the new band. We know that you guys are there, and the Air Force is there, and Broadcast Auxiliary is in the upper part of the band, and GMRS and Family Radio Service and all of this stuff. You know, we know that because we're the telecom subcommittee. We're supposed to know that. He was very reassuring that the committee, as they developed their version of this legislation, would not be following this approach of reallocating 420 to 440. That was good to hear, but H.R. 607 is still sitting there. It may be in the coffin, but we've got to pound a lot more nails in before we're ready to declare victory on that one. We are still encouraging amateurs to contact their congressman and make sure that we've got enough nails in this coffin. I'm quite confident we're going to come out of this okay. I regret that we've had to spend so much time on it. On the other hand, it's been a really good exercise. We've delivered over 5,000 letters on the Hill. People now know the drill, and so the next time we'll be able to call folks out and be very confident that you all will respond. So if you've written a letter, thank you so much. If you haven't written a letter, don't interpret what I've said as saying, oh, I don't need to. We need some more nails.
That concludes our first excerpt from a 2011 Dayton Hamvention presentation by Dave Sumner, K1ZZ, CEO of the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. We'll conclude this talk next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2011 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with the Rain Report, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com.